you know what I see about you guys? Just like hanging out. You guys can't even get yourselves apart. It's just weird. You guys are weird people. And, I mean, you got heists showing up late just to hang out, man. I'm like, man, you're just so needy. Y'all just so needy is what it is. And I'm just kidding. No, I had a great time yesterday. I really did. I mean, it was just, I think we could have threw a ball up in the air and kicked it around a little bit and everybody would have been happy. I don't know, but I just had a real enjoyable time. Hey, this next week I'm getting into the school, Brad School, as a matter of fact. I'll be in there for health classes all day on Tuesday. So all day Tuesday I'm in health classes. And we'll see what else they give me, but I believe it's going to be all day, so every class. Are you guys running a 90-minute schedule over there? 50? Okay. A little bit different than Commerce. Commerce is running a 90, I think. So that sounds good, and he runs kind of a block course over there. But and then on Thursday, FCA on Thursday in Commerce, if I remember correctly. All those things ready to go. Next year, we're scheduled to be in Commerce as well. Some of you guys are praying about this. We'll be in Commerce all week long next year, Commerce High School. So we'll be there from Monday all the way to Friday, every day for classes. And then we'll probably try to have a big event next year, some teen event. Think what you want to do, man. I mean, whether it's dodgeball or whatever it is, something that everybody will get involved in. We can do a three-on-three. We can do a three-night competition as well. And that being, it'll just be a progression each night. That way, if you don't get everybody there the first night, you can invite more people for the next night and the next night. It usually grows, gets a lot larger. It's similar to some of the formats that I used to do in the past, and something I got away from, but something I'd like to get back to. So anyway, I say all that. I want to try to help you out with something, because sometimes it's just not knowing. Sometimes it's just not understanding. Man, come on. Come on, get on this already. Sometimes it's just, oh, man, this thing better not go down. It could be a bad day in paradise today. So I want to try to help you out with soul winning is what I want to try to help you out with, because many of you, I know you're great kids, but some of you are a little bit apprehensive in the soul winning department. You say, why? This is why. I'm going to tell you why. It's many times because you don't have a plan going into it. Yes, you know the gospel. Yes, you're saved, but the plan tends to go by the wayside. That's not an unusual thing. That's not an abnormal thing. It doesn't mean you're a weirdo or unspiritual. I'm just telling you, sometimes you just don't have a plan going in, therefore you have no confidence in anything. It's not that you don't have boldness in other areas. It's sometimes when it comes down to the gospel, you just don't have boldness in that area. And I just want to try to help. Just give some real practical reasons it takes it out of your hands, because what happens is you got pressure on you. You're like, man, this preacher's always talking about soul winning and I got pressure on me. No. It's not pressure on you. We look through a different paradigm and we got a whole different perspective. So it's not pressure on you. This will help out Miss Noelle as well. This will help out our sound man in the back, Mr. Soundman, because I don't know his name as well as I should. Brother, what's your name? Brother Sam. It's going to help Brother Sam in the back. What I'm saying, it's going to help each of us, okay? It really will. It'll help each of us. And Brother Sam, in my defense, I know everybody that works with the teens. I do. Anybody that works with the teens on a basis all the time, I know them wholeheartedly. And I'm sorry about that, Brother Sam, but it's all Miss Noelle's fault. Actually, Mike's fault. That's probably my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I want to tell you a success story. Success stories in soul winning, because you read of D.L. Moody and you read of these great missionaries that see multitudes of souls saved, which is awesome. And by the way, I think I look good in this tie today and this shirt, but I'm not even bitter at Annalisa. I never would I ever be that bitter. But anyway, you read of these great people in the past and these great missionaries, and I'll tell you this, they are not the standard. All right, sometimes they are the abnormal, I understand, or maybe they are the normal, I don't know. But I will tell you this, when we read the book of Acts, now let's say this, now that's the standard, whether that's more than what the missionaries are doing or not, that is the normal. And what I mean by that is this, it's the Holy Spirit working in and through you. It's not you doing the working. Okay, and I'm going to get to this in a second and try to explain it. But there's a secret to successful soul winning. There really is. It'll make you unceasing, unshakable when it comes to the matter of personal soul winning. And one thing it won't do is take away any type of fear of man. It won't take that away. It doesn't drop kick that. You're going to fear people. That's going to happen at times. Am I saying it's right? No, but the fact is you will fear people at times. I'm not saying it's right, but what did we say yesterday about feelings? Feelings don't run the show, man. They can't run the show. So you got to dropkick feelings and say, feelings, you're not in control. You're not the ones running the show. So let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. We'll go to 16. This is the secret right here. The secret of successful soul winning. It says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. It says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul goes on to say in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. A few things about this passage and we'll be all finished. If we get done early, we get done early. Those are all good policies because you guys are all pretty good people, except for a couple of you. And you know who you are and we know who you are. Here it is. You're a debtor to every man. That's what I want you to see, first of all. You are a debtor to every man. It doesn't matter red or yellow, black or white. They are all precious in His sight. It doesn't matter poor or rich. We're a debtor to every man. You know, when I grew up, I realized this. Or when I first got saved at 20 years old, I didn't only see that JJ and his sister were late. But I do know this. I do know that because I would never be late but a minute this morning. I realized this. I thought that I was called to just young people. And what I mean by that is I thought that I was called to elementary people because I saw God work in their life. And I thought, surely I'm called to just elementary people. You want to know why? Because I didn't have confidence to witness to anybody else. I didn't have confidence to witness to a teenager. I thought there's no way I could ever talk to teenagers. There's no way, man. They're weird people. They're mean people. You know, I thought of many different things. They're so judgmental. And they're so judgmental, Annalise. And I thought, man, I could never do this. But you guys are in the most consolidated peer pressure part of your life right here. It's not going to be like this forever, but you are in that right now. But all I'm saying is I thought I could never do that. And surely talk to older people. I can never lead them to Jesus Christ. Wow, man, that is out of my league totally. And then one day I had an opportunity to preach a teen service. And God worked. Man, God moved. Kids got saved. I thought, well, okay, I can do young people and I can do teens. But older people, I could never do that. A couple years after being saved, I remember an 80-year-old man walked in the back door. I thought, whoa, I felt so nervous. I thought, my grandpa just walked in the back door. What am I going to do? And it wasn't my grandfather, obviously, but that's kind of how I felt. I felt a great respect. And I thought, oh, man, I could never, ever, ever. And God gave me the opportunity to lead him to the Lord that day. Friends, all I'm saying is this, is God led me along the way, but God showed me that it's not about me. He showed me my indebtedness to every man. Doesn't matter whether poor. I was with Boss Holmsher. Boss Holmsher used to be over Neighborhood Bible Time years and years ago out in Boulder, Colorado. I remember Boss Holmsher got off the bus late one night. There were 50 of us boys, all college-age guys. We were all sitting on the bus. We watched Boss Holmsher jump off this bus because there was a homeless guy that was staying right, or that was sitting right in front of the place where we were. Boss Holmsher went over to him and said, sir, how can I help you? He looked back up at him and he said this. He said, I was one of your kids that you taught in Denver, Colorado 25 years ago. Here's what Boss did. Boss realized something. It wasn't about how much money you had. It wasn't about anything like that. It wasn't about how poor you were. Boss, this guy had mange, it looked like, all over in his face, man. I mean, his beard was all tore up, and he had grease. He had that facial grease all coming down his face from homeless people. I know it's gross, isn't it? It's a nasty picture. It's a nasty picture. The guy stunk, man. As a matter of fact, when we walked by him, the guy stunk. He really did. You know what Boss did? Boss took his arms, opened them wide to him and said this, you were one of mine one of those days. He said, praise the Lord. Did you get saved, sir? He says, yeah, I'm just down on hard times. Boss gave him a big hug, man, crying like a baby. You said, what did Boss realize? Boss realized his indebtedness is what he did, his indebtedness to every man. Now, I don't recommend you go around hugging a bunch of homeless people. That's not what I'm saying. But if God's in you talking to anybody, talk to anybody. You could talk to your friends much more than I could talk to your friends. Paul was bound by the same thing that we're bound to, according, and this is it, to preach, which is to preach the good news to the heathen, any heathen that's lost or saved. That's where they got $1 million or they don't have any money. So has not God given us a divine calling? Matthew 28 tells us about that, the Great Commission. Acts 1:8 tells us about the Great Commission. Numerous times throughout the Scriptures, the other three Gospels tell us about the Great Commission. They tell us that we're supposed to go. Why? To everybody. All I'm saying is that I was with a pastor down in Swinging Bridge, North Carolina, and he said this, I was just up north at a Goodwill. I guess every good Baptist pastor shops at Goodwill. And he was there at Goodwill. He says, as I stood there waiting for my wife, he says, I watched this guy. He's kind of a Harley guy. He says he come walking up. He said he looked rough. He was probably the bad connotation of what every Harley guy looks like. He said, man, I clearly could see that he was rough, man. He's waiting for his wife, and he was walking around. He said, I passed by him five times. And he says, as if God said five times, give this guy a track. Not sit and talk to him. Just give him a track. He said, I was scared to give him a track. This guy wasn't a weaselly little pastor, man. He was a big old dude. Looked like he played football. He said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't give him a track. He says, till finally I kind of ran into him in the aisle, and he says, okay, I'll give him a track. He said he kept passing by the same guy. I know Goodwill's not massive, but I kept passing by the same guy. He said, so I handed him a track. He said, you know what that guy did? He said he took that track, and he said in the smallest little Mickey Mouse voice, thank you so much. He said it kind of took him off guard. He thought he was kidding around. He said that guy sat there and read the track the rest of that time, just looking at it, going, wow. Friends, listen, I think we judge people, don't we? I do, don't you? You judge me, I judge you. Those are kind of the rules of life, as much as I hate to say it. God says not to judge. But I think more than what he's saying is above your own judgment, he says use my judgment. Because we judge is what we do. Not that it's right, but I'm saying that it happens. All I'm saying is you don't have to look. You see your indebtedness to every man. Man looketh on the outside appearance, but God looketh on the heart. There's people out there that just simply need to hear. Now, again, you're feeling the pressure. You got the pressure on you. You got pressure. You're thinking, okay, then I need to do it. I need to do it. Well, yeah, we need to do it, but you got to understand where it comes from. It's not about you so much as being surrendered. You're indebted to every man, and it means to be a debtor very simply that you're indebted to them. Okay, now watch this. In order to be a successful soul winner, you not only realize you're a debtor to every man, but you must be ready to preach the gospel. Now, this is where it hangs some of you guys up because you don't have a plan. There's like a, okay, yeah, I get the Romans row. I understand. So I could take them to Romans 3:23, and then we're going to go to Romans 6:23, and then we're going to, then we got to go to Romans 5:12. Oh, we got to, I understand that. We have a plan. But what I'm saying is, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good? Now, it's going to take a little bit of time, a couple, maybe a week or two, okay, for you guys to sit down as a group with those maybe that are interested in learning a plan. You got ammo that way. When I go out hunting, to be honest with you, I want the right weapon when I go out hunting. If I'm going to go all hog hunting, I don't use an AR-15 like other people. I use something that's going to drop them a ton quicker, and that's a 30-06. Because, amen, everybody needs a 30-06. All I'm saying is you want to have the right ammo. You don't want to go out there and spitting and sputtering. And you want to stick to the right ammo. When you go out, it'd be good if you had a great pattern to go soul winning. Here's a great pattern. If you don't have one, here it is. Write her down if you want to. I'm going to tell you to take me just a couple seconds. Sin black, hell hot, and Christ the answer. Sin black, hell hot, Christ the answer. Nobody wants to hear about hell, man. It's an inconvenient thing. But I will tell you this. It is part of the gospel. Sin black, hey, listen, you're a sinner. Well, that's a no-brainer. Everybody knows that. You ever lied? Okay, yeah, I've lied. You can name a couple sins. That's fine. Sin black, hell hot. There's a judgment for everybody's sin on earth. As a matter of fact, without the payment, everybody's going to receive this, and it's a place called hell. I know it's unfortunate. I wish it wasn't there too, but let's face it, it's there. Sin black, hell hot, and then point them to Jesus Christ. If you can remember this, show them their sin, show them the heat of hell, and then show them how great Christ is. Oh, but Jesus isn't going to solve all your problems, but he'll solve the one problem. You can practice those phrases. I'm telling you, you can write them down. You know what I used to do when I first got saved? I worked as a low-voltage electrician, and Pastor Brenson and I got saved. We got in the same church there. We grew in Christ in the same church under the same man, Dennis Clemens, who was a great soul winner. I'm so surprised he hadn't been down. He would take him in a second, I know, to come down here. He just looked so odd, and he's just such a good man. But I say all that to say I didn't understand the gospel, but I did understand that tracts held the gospel of Jesus Christ in them. It's not that I sat down and read every single one of them, but I took tracts and I put them in my pocket. And here's what I'd do. I'd walk out with a tract. This isn't a tract, but I'd walk out with a tract in my pocket and I would hand it. I ran service and delivery, and I was so nervous to do it, but I had to finish my job first. I would fix something at a Walmart, or we worked on all the sound systems and all the phone systems and stuff across the Eastern Seaboard from South Carolina all the way up north. And I would take a tract with the manager, and I'd sit down. I'd hand the manager a tract, and I'd have one too. And I'd say, hey, you got about 10 minutes, just a quick 10 minutes. I'd love to I just want to go over this with you right here. Shows you how to get to heaven. I want to tell you this, man. People would get saved as a result of that. It was like reading a bedtime story to my kids. That's the only way I can associate it today. I was like, hey, yeah, see there it says you're a sinner. Do you see it on yours? Because it's right here on mine, is it? And I don't know if it was just the innocency of it, but I'm going to tell you this. God used it. You say, why? This is why. Because it wasn't my message, friends. As a matter of fact, I didn't die for that message. All God's asking you to do is take the gospel, something you didn't even write. This ain't a term paper that you need to make up. It's not like, oh boy, what am I going to say? Well, it's right there in the Bible. It's just verses. In the least case scenario, give some verses and say, hey, this is going to change everything. How about this? In the least case scenario, just pass out a tract. That would really be my challenge to you today. Take a tract and pass it out to somebody. Now, that's fine if you do it at the table, but I mean physically. Go up to somebody and say, hey, this could change your life if you let it. Practice some great phrases. Practice some catchy phrases. I don't care. But practice some phrases to go up and say, hey, listen, you know what? This right here changed my life. And I know it can change yours. Now, you know what they might say. Well, what is it? Well, it's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can, if you feel bold enough to say, hey, would you like to talk about that? You don't have to have every answer, friends. That's why we got the Bible. I don't have every answer when people start talking. Old flat earth theory and all these other people that I've talked to, friends. I'm going to tell you, I don't have every answer neither. I don't want you to fear because you don't have an answer. This ain't a test, friends. This is somebody else's message that you're just reiterating. Remember the phrase, we're just beggars showing other beggars where to get bread? That's all that it is. You say, I talked to somebody about Jesus Christ and they didn't get saved. Well, welcome to the club, friends. I talk to a ton of people every single week and many of them don't get saved. But there's some that do. There's some that do. For as much as in me, Paul said this, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. The book of Galatians was written before the book of Romans, which he would have understood this truth, okay? He would have understood that he's crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the animation, if we could say it this way, of the Son of God. You know what he realized? Paul realized he can't do it. He needs God to do it. The only thing that makes Paul and some of these other people in the Scriptures absolutely amazing is not that they're super Christians, because they're not. They're human. What makes them absolutely amazing is they cried out to God and said, God, I need your help. You know, it'd be great not to be defeated every time somebody talks about soul winning. Just say, you know what? It's not my message. I didn't write it. I didn't die for it. It's not my power. Friends, it's simply just being willing. That's it. Are you going to miss some times? If you're human, you'll probably miss some times. You probably miss more than you'd like to miss. But I will tell you this, you got to understand, yes, your indebtedness, and be ready to preach the gospel. You say, what was in him? As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you what I believe Paul thought was this, that the Holy Spirit's in him, and he needs him to preach the gospel. Paul didn't have it all figured out, friends. I don't have it all figured out. Preacher and I are out numerous times, and there's sometimes we talk to people, and there's sometimes we don't talk to people. I don't feel obligated to talk to every single person I run into. But I will tell you this, the ones I do, I know that God's behind. Simple? I think simpler than we make it. Now, if you want to go out and witness to everybody under the sun, that's fine with me as well. I knew a guy, I went to school with Kobe Brown. Kobe Brown, he was in the Citadel for the longest time. He was a very intimidating guy when you look at him. The guy looked sharp, man. He looked like a linebacker. I mean, he's a big dude. I remember he'd come up to you at the beginning of service. It didn't matter if you'd been there for years or not. He'd stick his hand in yours and he'd say, hey, man, good to see you. During handshaking time, good to see you. Hey, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Hey, what about you? Do you know you're saved? You're on your way to heaven? So he felt the need to talk to everybody. That's fine. That's okay. But I will say this. If you say, well, I just don't think I should talk to anybody, I think you're wrong. Because there's people in your sphere that God really wants you to talk to. He really does. Does he want you to sit the whole track team down and preach to them? I don't think so at this time, but you don't know. You don't know. You'll get those opportunities on the bus. I was with a young girl. She said, man, I travel with a band. I was traveling with a band or something, or it was a drama team or something. She's sharp. Sharp-looking girl, good-looking young lady up in Wisconsin. She's very popular in school. She only goes there one or two classes. That's it. She's homeschooled. Maybe it's a novelty of her. She's never there, and people think, oh, man, what a cute. I don't know, okay? But I know this. She was driving home. She was on the bus, and she was talking to one of the kids, and she said this. She said, you know what? She said, we have something going on at church this weekend. Somebody looked at her and said, church? Huh? You don't really believe that stuff, do you? And all she simply said was that she didn't fight with him. She said, yes, I do. And for the next 30, 40 minutes, she was able to sit and give the gospel to just about every person that was on that bus, about 30 kids. Now, friends, that's an amazing truth. And I know we get down south here and we think everybody's saved, man, because this is the Bible Belt, or at least everybody thinks they are. You know what I find more and more when I go out and knock on doors? People don't have a clue, man. They just don't have a clue. You talk to people that are out and about, they just don't know. And sometimes they don't even get the road answer. I go to church anymore. They don't even do that. Especially in a college town. You got a lot of great opportunity, especially in this little college town, Athens. And you got a great opportunity. Okay, and this is it. Okay, you must be ready. Realize you're in debtor. You must be ready to preach the gospel. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, this is what I recommend. You say, man, then I'm going to have to do it. Yeah, okay. I recommended the preacher. This is what I recommended before we even talked, because we had talked sometimes about this from time to time, because we're always burdened about soul winning, because it was impressed upon us by our teacher. I said this. I said, you ought to get a class together. Give these guys a venue. Put them together. You ought to do something with them. Because you guys are super close friends, many of you. Some of you put up with each other. Okay, I know that. Because I have to put up with the Heist family too. But what I'm saying is, Ben's not here. I'd pick on Ben. Where's Luke? But there's Luke. Okay, yeah. So the Swaffers as well. Okay, but Cody's a good guy because he's going to work with me this summer and it's God's will in his life. He just doesn't know it yet. No, what I'm saying is this, is you guys got a good group. It would be absolutely dynamic to see what you could do when it comes in this area of the soul winning department. I think it could be life-changing. Life-changing. It's not going to ostracize you from people. I'm not telling you not go out and have fun. I go out and have a blast. I can have a blast with somebody that's an atheist. I can have a blast with them. But I'll probably during that time tell them something about God. I'm not going to deny who I am. I'm secure who I am. I like to be around a real conservative person who's really secure in who they are. I like to be around a real new evangelical person who's really secure in who they are. Hey, man, I'll be around an atheist who's secure in who they are as long as I can challenge them. Friends, that's all I'm saying. You got an anchor. His name's Jesus Christ. Be secure in who you are. But give the gospel out there. I was up in Somerville, Alabama. It's a great church. As a matter of fact, some of your teens, I have them looking for them down there in Florida. They're PCC guys. They're big names down there. Great guys. Great guys. Their family's big names. That's why they're big names. And welcome to the world of politics. Amen. Okay, you're going to receive it too when you get to college. People are going to receive wrong positions, okay, and they don't deserve them. Just get ready for life. Watch this now. They're a great youth group. They'll run about 50, just about like you guys. 40, 50. 30. I'm going to tell you what they've done. I'm doing this to challenge you. Every Wednesday night, they got a soul winning time where they go out. And I'm going to tell you, I talked to a young boy, Jeremiah and him. He reminds me of Jeremiah, as a matter of fact. I still don't like Jeremiah, but I'm just telling you, he reminds me of Jeremiah. Man, that boy can win some souls for Jesus. Unbelievable. He walked out just not too long ago, and he led this little Oriental boy to the Lord. He got baptized the next week. Little boy's name is Vincent. Vincent's been in service day in and day out. The kid had been his neighbor for years. He just never talked to him about Christ. He didn't even know he lived there. It was so funny. This kid was never home. And then he leads him to Jesus Christ. Friends, you know when I go there and I hold an event or do something like that, they lead him to Jesus Christ. I don't. They do it. Friends, all I'm saying is just because we're teenagers doesn't mean we can't be used. These guys are used dynamically. Dynamically. Just because they're willing to walk out and do it. That's all. There's nothing special about these guys. I mean, I've been with them same place, same everything. I'm walking out with Jordan Grubbs. She's a young girl. Sweetheart. She's a real sweetheart. She's in PCC now. But I will tell you what, you can't stop that girl when it comes to discipleship. Do you know in and amongst you guys right now, I do believe that there's people that can disciple each other right here. You say, but they're my peers. Yeah, they are. But I do believe there's some discipleship that can go on right here. I think it'll grow you. I think one of the greatest challenges is going out there soul winning. I really do believe that because it's other people looking at you. The last part is this. You must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed of God, friend. Don't be ashamed of giving the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you believe it, you're going to heaven as a result of it. It's worth it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't back up on it. You're saying, well, I didn't talk this week when I was supposed to, so I must be ashamed. That's not completely what I'm saying. I think you've got a little bit of fear in you. That's okay. But what I'm saying is don't be ashamed of it. It would be absolutely dynamic while you guys are out to be able to give the gospel to somebody. Team up on them. It's okay. Make it a team effort. That's fine. Make them feel outnumbered. God forbid, make them feel uncomfortable about their sins. Can I say this? Just because you messed up in the past doesn't mean you need to mess up in the future. Just because you say, no, you don't realize how I've acted around these people. Friends, I was a drug dealer, and I still went back and talked to my friends. You know what I realized about some of them? Some of them were already saved. I remember I went up to Caleb Poorman. Caleb Poorman was at a place. I walked into a carnival. He was a carny, as a matter of fact. He wasn't maybe that typical carny, but he was a pretty cool guy. I mean, we hung out when we were kids. He had these big old dreadlocks, and he sold mushrooms to everybody. You can try to figure that out yourself. But I will tell you this. He was a good kid apart from the drug dealing, okay? But we hung out day in and day out. We were always together. Then we split up for a while, and then I'd see him every weekend at a party or something like that. And we'd just see each other in passing. It was a small town, so you ran into each other all the time. I remember going up to Caleb after I got saved. It was July 4th, or around that time frame, they had the July 4th festival. And I ran in and I said, Caleb, listen. I said, something happened in my life. I said, I need you. I need you to listen. I said, man, I asked Jesus Christ to save me, Caleb. Listen, I asked Christ to save me. Let me tell you a story. He said, whoa, wait a second, Mike. He says, I heard this story at VBS. He says, saved, right? Is what you're about to tell me? I said, yes, saved. He says, yeah, I've been saved. Man, this guy explained the gospel better than I ever could. You know what I said to him? You're an idiot. I said, all those times we partied together and you never opened your mouth to me at all. You know what would have been better at that time if he just would have said, you know what, Mike, I'm sorry. You know what could help? I'm going to tell you this. Some of you feel like you dug yourself into a hole because of the path that you've already taken. And here's what you need to do. You need to go to those people, if you're going to tell them about Christ, and say this, I'm sorry. I haven't been living the way I should, but let me tell you something that'll change your life. And again, I'm sorry for the way I've been living, but listen, I'm trying not to do it and I ain't perfect. You don't need to be perfect to give the gospel. You just need to give the gospel. I just don't want your failure to hold you back, because I know we all have histories, we all have past. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then the last part is this, and we're almost done. You got to believe that it's the power comes from God, okay? You got to believe in the power of God on the salvation. 10:30, what time are we supposed to be done? About 15 minutes. We'll be done probably a little bit before that, hopefully here. Watch this now. You got to depend upon the gospel. It's not your power. It's not how eloquent you say it. Okay, although you ought to have a plan, there's going to be times where you're like, oh, what's next? Sin black, hell hot, Christ the answer. That's what you got to remember. Sin black, hell hot, Christ the answer. Then point them to Jesus. Okay, now ask them. He says it's that simple. It's that simple. It's simply God. Hey, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou goest in thy kingdom. Well, I don't know what kind of words they were, but it doesn't sound like he said, oh, Lord, I'm such a sinner. Save my wretchedness. I repent. He didn't say any of those things. He said, God, I need you. Remember me when thou goest in thy kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Listen, God sees the heart, friends. I'm going to tell you this, but there are people out there waiting on you, believe it or not. Yes, God will send somebody else if you don't go, but maybe, just maybe, it's you that he wants to use. And can I say it this way? It is you that he wants to use. All I'm saying is we could preach on prayer and soul winning and we could just fret. But watch this now. Last part. It's not about your power, okay? I'll try to stay on task. It's not about your power. It's about dependence. If I were to say here today that this chair will hold me up, this pew will hold me up, what would I do? I would sit on it. I'd depend upon it. All I'm saying is just as you give the gospel, you got to depend upon it the same way. The gospel saves people. Whether you can see it on the outside, whether you can see the effects thereof on the outside, the gospel does the saving work. There is power in the gospel. Yes, there's power in the blood. Yes, there's power in the word. There's power in the gospel. When you tell people the gospel, it changes people. That's why it makes you feel nervous at times. Because you realize there's maybe something that happens with this. They may ask me another question. And listen, if they get off task, can I help you out? If you're giving the gospel and they say, well, you know what? My mom said one time that angels are all 3 foot tall. Well, yeah, that's great. But did you know that Jesus Christ will save you if you ask him? A lot of people just get off task. They'll ask dumb questions, crazy questions. Well, don't you believe that the earth could explode someday? Well, yeah, you know, all those things are phenomenal things you're talking about. But really, the gospel is what we're after right now. And bring them back to the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. That's what's going to change things. You don't have to have an answer for everything else. The answer that we need to have is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was at a pastor's conference. Now I'll end with this and I'll be all done. We can chill out a little bit. I remember I was at a pastor's conference and I was up in Wisconsin. I was in college at the time and I was known for going out and telling souls about Christ just because I was obedient. That's all that I was. I mean, I got saved as a drug dealing lifestyle and I'm just telling you, I just told souls about Jesus Christ and a lot of them looked like my old friends. So I guess it made it a little bit easier at times. But I remember we were seeing some souls saved and I was leading the group and then we had this pastor's conference on soul winning. You're never going to believe what they did at this pastor's conference on soul winning. They went soul winning. Isn't that an amazing thing? Well, I had a headache that day, and after all, I was a college kid, and I was serving Jesus Christ, amen, and I was in college, Bible college, and I decided I have a headache, so I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sleep. It's not like I hadn't been out soul winning a bunch of times that week. I said, I'm going home to go to bed. Well, the pastor called me out, the assistant pastor, and he says, Mike, there's about 100 plus people, probably 200 preachers there. And he looked out at me and he says, Mike, he says, I need you to lead a group of preachers down to the high school down there at Madison High School, downtown Milwaukee. I thought, you know, I'll explain to him here in a couple seconds that I really have a headache and I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I really have a headache. I'll take care of it later. So I remember walking up to him and he says, Mike, y'all ready to go? You got your plans? I mean, in front of everybody. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'll just drive them down there and then drive home. Or I'll tell them the directions on how to get there and then I'll drive home. Well, I got coupled up with a girl named Jessica. I won't tell you her last name just in case she listens to some type of the recording. But I got hooked up with Jessica and a couple other preachers from other states. This is what I thought. Jessica's lived here for years. She knows exactly where to go. So I went to Jessica. I said, Jessica, listen, I got a headache. I said, I think I'm going to go home. My head hurts. And she looked back at me and she goes, I don't know how to get there. I thought, what in the world is wrong with you? You don't know how to get there. You lived here for years. I said, I've lived here for 5 months and I know how to get there. I said, all right, Jessica, I'll take you guys down there. I'm honest, man. My head was pounding. It was one of those stupid headaches where you don't drink a lot of water and you do a ton of exercise. You know what I'm saying? And your head is like, boo, boo, boo. Man, I couldn't get it out of the back of my head. I remember I got down there, and the whole time I'm going, Lord, this is the stupidest thing. Lord, I don't even think I should be here. God, this is the dumbest thing I've done. I said, my head hurts. I'm a college student. Bless God, I need to go home and get my sleep so I can win people to Jesus Christ tomorrow. I got stuff to do. I got a test tomorrow. I remember I got in that car. I jumped down. There were two Hmong boys walking down the road. Hmong was pretty prominent religion up there. Two Hmong boys. They were Asian. I remember they're walking down the road. I hopped out, and I went up to them. I was so frustrated. My head hurt so bad. I went up and I said, listen, boys. One was 15, one was 14. I said, listen. I said, my head hurts. I said, I don't got a ton of time. But do you know you're on your way to heaven? I mean, if you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? They said, no. I said, well, do you want to know? They said, yeah, man, we'd really like to know that. Man, I led those two little boys. It took me 45 minutes. My head started feeling a little bit better. I led those two little boys to the Lord. I was frustrated. I was upset. I wanted to go home and sleep. But those two young boys, 14 and 15, got saved. They're two brothers. You know what I thought to myself? It ain't about me. I didn't even feel like doing it. And God still did it. Listen, man, if God can make a donkey talk, God can use you. Okay? Yeah, right? Are you with me? God can use you. You just got to believe that the gospel is the power of God on the salvation. Simple. As I said before, there ain't nothing simple. You have to realize this. You're a debtor to every man. You got to be ready to preach the gospel. You know, it's not to be ashamed of the gospel. And you got to realize who it comes from and the power comes from. It comes from God. So if you don't have it all figured out, welcome to the club, man, because there ain't nobody from the pulpit to the back, pulpit to the piano to all the way to the back that has it all figured out. But one thing I do have figured out is this. This Christian life ain't about me, man. It ain't about my strength because I failed miserably numerous times. But it is about God's strength. It is about God's strength. And when I'm a success, I know where it comes from. It doesn't come from my human determination. It comes from God's strength. This would be my recommendation to you, my challenge. You can take it or not. Listen, if it came down to challenging in basketball or in football or in soccer and track, you know, all these different things, I know you'd take the challenge. Man, some of you guys would take the challenge numerous times. Val would guard the trash can because she doesn't want to play. Annalise get real cocky about it. She would. We all know her. Brad would argue with the ref a couple or two times. And then he'd tell his team what to do. Cody just go out there and win. I don't know about Code, man. He's just like, I'm so tall, I'm just going to. It's like Godzilla in a little New York City or something. Friends, let me say this. That's my challenge to you. Could you just take it? Some of you are going to go out tonight to the restaurant. They've received a million tracts, but they may not have received one from you. Some of you guys are going to do some things this week. Maybe going to go to school. Can I challenge you? Just do this. Just take one track by next week. I'm not going to check with you. It's not my point. I'm just saying take one track by next week and hand it to somebody and say this. This will change your life if you let it. That's it. If you haven't been saved, it makes it real easy. Something's going to change your life first, okay? Jesus Christ needs to save you, but many of us, I do believe this, we know Christ. My challenge is this, one track to take it to somebody and say this. This will change your life. Hey, you can even say, hey, my preacher made me do this. I'm a little scared right now, but I'll tell you this, this will change your life. Use any excuse you want. All I'm saying is I'd love for you to take the challenge. Because you're going to see it's a little bit easier than what you thought. And you may have to answer some questions. You may have to know them. Or you may have to look them up and go back to them. Can I say one more thing? I think all of you by this time next year ought to be discipling somebody. At your age. Now some of you are going to college and going away and things. So you're going to have a whole new world in your hands. But I think by this time next year, we ought to be able to be secure in discipling somebody, showing somebody that doesn't know as much as us. I'm sure there's a bunch of kids downstairs sitting in those classrooms. Many of them don't even have a clue of the things you know. That you learn in the day, even at a Christian school, or even through your Bible reading, or even sitting in a church service, they don't know. I think there's a lot of kids downstairs that could really benefit from some teenagers that are discipling them. I do believe that. And I say that for the adults as well. I know we have kids, but we ought to be discipling somebody. You know, Noelle, a lady discipling somebody. Brother Sam, another man discipling somebody. And sometimes it interferes with our time. It does. But I'll tell you this, God honors it. He really does. What a challenge, huh? But it's pretty simple, isn't it? A whole year to be in a discipleship program with somebody? A whole week just to pass out one piece of paper that tells the gospel? Yeah, that's all obtainable. But it's not about your power. You didn't die for it. You didn't get resurrected for it. And you surely didn't write it. God did. It's just His message. We're just simply saying, you know what? Hey, I got this message that God put in the Bible. Can I? Got a second? I just want to show it to you. You don't want to hear it now? Okay. Hey, I got this message. It's in the Bible. Would you? No? Okay. No? Okay, well, yeah, okay, yeah, let me show you. See, I'm saying somebody's going to listen. You're not obligated to twist everybody's arm and make them listen. We got to get out of here. We got things to do. Let's pray. Father, I pray more than anything. You've stirred hearts. I know that. I know that deep in hearts. You stir my heart. Lord, you take the pressure off of us and put it all on your Son, Jesus Christ, and all on the Holy Spirit. It's not our pressure. We didn't write this book. We didn't die for this book. We didn't die for the gospel because we're not the gospel, Lord. But I do know this. All you want us to do is open our mouth in obedience to people. You're going to save souls as a result of that. You're going to see things happen. There's young kids downstairs, maybe brothers and sisters that don't know the Lord. And we know it. We need to be one of the first ones to open our mouth and say, hey, let me talk to you. I know they push our buttons and I know they frustrate us at times. But I do know that they need to hear the gospel. Lord, there's friends in school that need to hear it as well. Lord, all I'm asking is that you don't take the fear away. Don't take any of those things away. Just simply be with our second step or our second word. Lord, if we surrender our first word and our first step, we know that you enable our second and our second word. Lord, we know that you want to do a work. Lord, we're weak. We'll always be weak, but you're strong and you'll always be strong. Lord Jesus, we love you. I pray that you be with those that you're impacting today and impact others that you're not. Lord, we do love you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.